Blog Talk Radio.
You find out life's this game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us.
Hell yeah.
They're in every break of the game. Every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch.
Oh, yeah. That's the sound we'll all be hearing here in just a couple of nights from now, December 22nd, time of day here. Welcome all in. Appreciate y'all tuning in here to another Fried House Sports' Red Zone Blitz. As we are, hard to believe, as I just pointed out, December 22nd, and, well, week 15 now in the NFL books. Close that book up. And we're looking ahead now to week 16. Short week. I guess really not much shorter than any other week, but it feels like a short week simply because of the big holiday that is going to be coming upon us here on Friday. And we do have, as we did last week, in week 16, we've got ourselves at least one game. Yes, there's one game on Saturday. Just like we had last week. So, interesting things going on right now in the NFL. Last week, four more teams secured themselves a spot in the, I guess, what we would call the dance after, you know, as the second season. Four more teams. Green Bay Packers, they locked up a playoff spot. The Carolina Panthers, Arizona Cardinals both clinched their division. And the Seattle Seahawks as well got themselves into the playoffs. A Seattle Seahawks team that, well, many had thought back in the beginning of the season they may not even be talked about for the playoffs. And so they join in with the likes of over in the AFC, the New England Patriots and the Cincinnati Bengals. That's it over in the AFC. Unlike the NFC, we've got four spots already wrapped up. Over in the AFC, just two. So, interesting situation coming up this coming week as we go into week 16. Or, you know, a number of weeks ago, I was sitting here complaining about how mediocre this league was, how, you know, there were so many teams that were just playing 500 ball or less, and yet perhaps maybe all of that parity is making for some rather suspenseful final weekends here as we go into the last two weekends of the NFL season. This past weekend, well, interesting situation in the AFC South, which we're going to be talking about this evening. As I had predicted, the Houston Texans took over the AFC South, and they are now right now currently sitting as the division leaders. But don't... Don't hold your breath, because for gosh sakes, they're on to their third quarterback. Yeah, they lost T.J. Yates last week. And so kind of a bittersweet victory there, I suppose, for the Texans, because now they've got themselves another quarterback situation, which they're going to have to deal with for the final couple of weeks. The Panthers stay perfect, but my God, it certainly didn't look like it was going to be. They just barely got by the New York Giants, and that was not only just a shootout, but hey, let's get it straight. The big story in the aftermath of it has been Odell Beckham and Josh Norman. And, yeah, we're going to talk about that one here as well. How about the new Washington Redskins? Would anybody have thought that they might just, in fact, be the NFC East winners when all is said and done? Well, it certainly possibly could be that way. Yeah, did you hear how convicted I was on that? Certainly possibly could be. Uh-huh. 7-7 the Washington Redskins are. Yeah, they're leading the division right now. And two games remaining for them. A game this coming weekend against the Philadelphia Eagles. And if they win that one, well, it would seem to me they wrap up the division at that point. Seattle Seahawks, as I just pointed out, have locked in their playoff appearance. And got to wonder now, Broncos lost last week. Well, can we say that the Broncos now are stumbling into the playoffs? Well, we're going to get into all of these things and talk a little bit about that, but we also want to hear from you as well. And if there's anything you want to chime in on with anything that we have on our agenda or even something we don't have on our agenda, don't hesitate to do so. Give us a holler here, 347-826-9964. On or off the agenda, it makes no never mind to us. If you've got a comment about something NFL-related, hell, it's week 16. Jump in, folks. You're not going to have much more time. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, if you are listening on a computer and you are Skype capable, hit the Skype button, or you can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or hit me up over on Twitter at Frat House Mike. I check my notifications constantly, and I will be putting out our Frat House Sports Twitter poll a little bit later on in this program. I'll let you know when and what the question might be. Joining me, as always, couldn't do the program. I couldn't do it by myself. Couldn't do it without this guy either, and that's Brandon. Brandon, hey, you know,
we do have
a football game this evening that is of interest. Did you know that?
Yeah. They're all of interest. Come on.
No,
it's NFL,
mean,
with 2 weeks to go. You know, very few games have, you know, some form of implication, or, you know what I mean? When you get down to it here, you know, even unless you get like flat out two bad teams, yeah, clearly. But I mean, in this case, you got the Raiders involved, who are, you know, at least a fringe team that's in, you know, on the fringe of the playoffs.
I actually meant we do have a live game of interest this evening. Well, that is of interest to some people here in the Philadelphia region. We have a live football game this evening. In just moments from now, at the Boca Raton Bowl, we've got Temple and Toledo will be kicking off in just moments from now at the Boca Raton Bowl.
The Boca Raton Bowl? Really?
That's correct. Yep. Uh-huh. Hey, listen, hats off to those Temple Owls for getting into a bowl. My God, when was the last time we heard about Temple Owls?
Oh, I'm not trashing the Owls. I'm trashing the name of the bowl. I'm channeling Sidekick for a minute here, you know, when it comes to college sports and the way they, you know, grab money for things. It's just like the Boca Raton Bowl, really? You know, that would be something Sidekick would say.
Well, I mean, look, it is December 22nd, and we're not into the heavy-duty bowls just yet. The better ones, of course, will be coming next week. But, listen, I can tell you right now, I'll bet you that a good, 15% of, excuse me, the televisions in the Philadelphia region will be tuning into that. I'll bet you. I'll bet you 15% in the Philadelphia region. Yeah.
That's a pretty strong number.
I'm gonna be tuning into it. I'm gonna tune into it. I would think just about all Philadelphia fans will be tuning into that one, whether you're a Temple fan or not. And I'm not necessarily a Temple fan, but.
Well, hey, if we want to go, right down to it, Temple. This year, Temple was exciting when it came right down to it. I mean, the buildup for that Notre Dame game, you know, that was held here in Philly. We had the College Game Day folks sitting here at that stadium. So, you know, if any team in the Philadelphia market in a college setting finally, you know, get some, you know, college football play, you know, they deserve it.
Yeah, and good for them. Absolutely, good for them that they're getting that kind of attention and notoriety. And I know that the head coach Matt Rhule, there had been talk because, of course, his contract either was in its final year this year or was up. There had been talk that perhaps maybe because of what Temple had done, you know, would Matt Rhule get an offer from a bigger school? And in fact, the offers were apparently supposed to be coming. They were coming, but he said, no, I want to stay right here. And apparently Temple has extended his contract for 5 years. So,
wow.
No detail though on the numbers on that. I would imagine it's a bit more than what he's making right now. I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because everybody knows Temple wasn't exactly paying their college football coach a whole boatload of money. The next thing, though, that I know Temple wants to address is building themselves a stadium.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that could get dicey. That could get very, very dicey, simply because of the funding issues. But we'll see how that goes. Anyhow, I just thought I'd bring that up as a little aside before we get into everything here.
If you want, I can give you a little update on some of the stuff you were mentioning earlier.
Yep.
With, especially quarterbacks, if you want, because you were talking about quarterbacks. The Texans, as you brought up, they're in a holding pattern right now. They are hoping Brian Hoyer comes back from a second concussion of the season. So they're kind of in a wait and see with the concussion protocol on Hoyer. So that's kind of where the Texans are right now. The Ravens might go to their fourth quarterback of the year because it appears Matt Schaub played two games as the backup and now he's done for the year. And Jimmy Clausen played last week. Word is that the Ravens want to see what they got in recently signed Ryan Mallett, and he may see the field as early as this week. So we might see Ryan Mallett in for another team this week. And kind of breaking news right now, Drew Brees in the game last night tore his plantar fascia tendon, very similar to Peyton Manning. And he could be done for the year.
They did
an MRI, and he has what they're calling a torn plantar fascia in his right foot. That could be all they wrote for Drew Brees on this season. Granted, it's not like the Saints were in a playoff contention or anything, but he was racking up numbers and, you know, getting, you know, some all-time stuff going. So, you know, two games, that's all that's left. It's not like it's a huge loss, but he's had a nice season. But, yeah,
Brandon,
he could be done.
What? Brandon, that what? Seriously, seriously hurts one of our own here.
Yes, I know. One of our finalists in our Frat House Sports Fantasy Football League has Drew Brees as her starting quarterback.
Yep.
And she better have a good backup waiting, apparently.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Going into the championship, potentially, and not having your starting quarterback. Oh, my goodness. Against the opponent that they've got that has just absolutely dominated in our league. Winning what? Something ridiculous, like 14 games in a row. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Far, I will say this. The team hasn't issued any statements. The report comes from ESPN's Ed Werder, and they're waiting a final evaluation from Robert Anderson. He's a Charlotte-based sports medicine specialist, and that's, you know, where they're going to go to get another opinion. But it does appear, for all intended purposes, that Drew Brees is indeed going to be done for the year, unfortunately.
You know, considering that the Saints are 5-9, and even if it isn't a serious injury, but serious enough, considering their record, they could potentially shelve him for the final two games of the season anyhow, knowing that they're not going to have anything to play for. They've got Luke McCown.
Well,
they've got Luke McCown, who has...
If you remember, though, Peyton Manning had a cast on for 2 weeks and then went to a walking boot. So, you know, I don't think this is anything if it is indeed, as the report states, a torn plantar fascia, I believe there's no alternative. I mean, he's going to have to wear some kind of cast type thing for at least a couple weeks. I don't see Drew Brees being any more of a Superman than Peyton Manning as far as, you know, that. I mean, I think it's a pretty standard recovery. I think they said even all along, you know, even for Peyton to be truly right, it would be a 6-week injury. I don't think it's going to, you know, we'll see whatever happens with Peyton, but, you know, I think you can just about put a fork in Drew with only 2 weeks left.
In a case of it being torn, however, and I guess the first question I ask is, in Peyton's case, was that a tear or was that just it was a tear?
Yeah, is there a procedure where they have to
retie that?
I don't think so. I think it heals on its own, but I think it's what connects the heel to the front of the foot. In other words, it's the connector ligament or tendon, whatever technically you want to call it. But that's, you know, that's what that is. And I don't, you know, I would think if it was a severe enough tear, yeah, you might need surgery to correct it. But I mean, I think it can be torn without being completely disconnected. In other words, like, I think you can do like a partial tear kind of thing. And that's what it's the sounds of what Peyton had. And I don't, you know, I don't want to speculate on Drew Brees' injury because it's, you know, a relatively new report. But, you know, they're calling it a complicated foot injury. So maybe it is worse even. I don't know. I mean, it's something you can come back from. It's not going to, I don't think it's career threatening for either guy. I mean, it's, you know, it's something that, you know, it happens. It's not great. If he was a running back or a receiver that relies on cutting a lot, I think you'd be more concerned, you know, long-term. But I don't think for a quarterback that, especially two guys that aren't necessarily running quarterbacks, I don't think it's career threatening. It might be season ending though, in this case for Drew Brees.
Well, I remember when we had this conversation about it, you know, back when Peyton, when it was first announced that Peyton had this issue. And I had reminded that I recall when Chase Utley from the Philadelphia Phils had this problem. Now, mind you, in baseball, they play a game almost every single day.
Right.
But in that season, Chase lost about 3/4 of the season with that condition. Like I said, you know, in baseball, you play a game almost every single day. So perhaps maybe it took longer simply because of the stress value that is placed on the feet of a baseball player. Was this a condition from what I understood, and maybe I'm wrong, is this a progressive sort of a condition, or did this occur during last night's game?
No, it actually occurred during last night's game. He came up lame all of a sudden, and they were looking at him and taped him up real good, and he did finish, but he didn't look as good when it happened. He did come up limp, you know, limping on a play.
That's
so
right.
Clearly, it happened in game, and his after game press conference said he even told the media he was having an MRI on the foot today, but he said that last night. So, you know, that's kind of where we are. It's probably not something somebody in the fantasy playoffs would like to hear, but unfortunately, you can't predict injury, unfortunately. But anyway,
And I'm just
I'm sure Drew isn't very pleased either.
I was just going to check on that individual's. Okay, they do have a QB. They got Alex Smith.
Oh, that's not bad. He's playing pretty solid, actually.
Yeah. That's the Chiefs having won now, what, 8 in a row?
Nine in a row.
Is it 9 or is
it?
I think it's 8 in a row.
I think it is 8, yeah.
Well, all right, good. Appreciate the updates on that. So we have all that information. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. What you just mentioned there about the Baltimore Ravens, taking a look at who did you say they're going to take a look at?
Ryan Mallett, the one who was released from Texans.
From the Texans. Can I tell you, I think that's an excellent move on the part of the Baltimore Ravens.
Can I tell you what I'm reading? I think that they don't like their backup quarterback situation with Matt Schaub, and I think they're looking at Mallett to fill that role. Because obviously Flacco, when he comes back from injury, is the man in Baltimore, and as he should be, he's won, you know, Super Bowl, and, you know, you even were kind of coming around on him a little bit earlier this year with some of his passes he was throwing. I mean, he was throwing lasers, and he was looking really solid till he got hurt. So I truly think that's what they're doing. They're going to try to, you know, take a look at Mallett as potentially a solid number two.
Yeah, it's well known for anybody that's listened in here to Fred House Sports for the past number of years that I am not, I never have been a big Joe Flacco fan. But you're absolutely right. I was starting to come around a little bit this year on him, and I was impressed with what I was seeing from him, particularly early on in the season. And a shame it had to get broken up like that. And that, you know, we haven't had a chance to get the full season look, but I like what you're telling me on that one. I like what you're telling me on that one.
Well, from what I understand, the problems he was having in Houston was a bit of he needs a firm hand, a firm coach, and a firm role, and all the wishy-washiness of Bill O'Brien switching back and forth between him and Hoyer, he just didn't handle it well. He was fine in New England when he knew his role. He was the clear backup to Tom Brady. There's no question. He knew his role, and he played it well till, you know, his contract ran out and he became a free agent. So, you know, actually, I do believe they traded him, but they didn't get much for him. But, you know, if he goes into Baltimore with a clear role as a backup, you know, there's no reason to say he should be a discipline problem like he was in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
He's just apparently one of those guys who needs to have a set structure, doesn't do well under, you know, the Bill O'Brien musical chair quarterback thing.
And like I said, as far as I didn't want to do this. Hold on. I'm messing up what I had up on my screen here. As far as going back to the Drew Brees situation, as far as the New England Patriots or as far as the New Orleans Saints go, we've seen the backup there already this season. We've seen Luke McCown in. So,
mm-hmm.
And he wasn't horrible.
No.
I guess it was one. Was it one? I think it was one appearance that we've seen.
I thought it was two I think Brees had some kind of shoulder issue for a while, and then it got wrapped around the bye week, and then he came back after the bye. So I think we saw 2 weeks of Luke McCown, and, you know, he did okay. He didn't kill him, that's for sure.
Right, right.
They have other issues on that team, and that would be the defensive side of the ball.
Now, let's go over real quick, and we can kind of wrap this into taking a look at this one game from last week, and that was the and we actually highlighted this game on our Thursday night Frat House Sports Show, and that was the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. And one of the headlines that I said was, you know, I wasn't surprised the Texans won this game. I've been saying now for the past couple of weeks that I didn't think the Colts were going to make the playoffs anyhow. I kind of thought the Texans were going to win this division. And they took care of business last week. They won head-to-head up against Indianapolis by just 6 points. But they do that, Brandon, and in the process they lost T.J. Yates. And in comes Brandon Whedon. And now T.J. Yates apparently, from all I'm reading, he's done, right? ACL, I believe.
Yes, he's gone for the year. Season ending.
So we've got Brandon
ACL injury, as you
we've got
out.
Brandon Whedon potentially having to carry this team into the playoffs. If, in fact, they get that far. And it's, of course, not even certain that they're going to get to that point yet. And we'll take a look at schedules here, I guess, momentarily. I know we went through this last week, but we might have to do it again with just two games remaining. Now, what did you take away from – now, Brandon Whedon, 11 of 18 when he came in. 11 of 18, 105 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions, a 95.8 QB rating. Houston had the ground game going. That helped tremendously. I know that Wheaton was running the ball a lot, as one would expect from a backup quarterback. Alfred Blue ended up with 107 yards on 20 carries. I was thinking I heard he got. What did you take away from Brandon Wheaton? Does the fact that Wheaton's in there now, does that lessen the Texans' chances, in your opinion, of potentially making the playoffs?
No, I think it all depends on when Brian Hoyer is ready to go. He's clearly their starting quarterback. You know, they're not. I don't think they've shut the door on him coming back this week, let alone, you know, next week. The Texans have a one-game lead, and I they could do a lot worse than Wheaton. I'll be honest with you. I think Dallas kind of screwed the pooch a little when the way they treated him. Switching to Castle, I think, has proved itself out to be a bad choice. I don't think Wheaton was hurting Dallas when, you know, he was in there as the starter. And just after they benched him in favor of Castle, all of a sudden, you know, other guys started getting healthy and playing better. You know, Wheaton might have been the better choice in Dallas. They might still be in the hunt had they stuck with him instead of switching to Castle. So I don't think he's going to kill the Texans if he does have to play this coming week. But, you know, like I said, I still think Brian Hoyer, he's missed 2 weeks now on his second concussion. So, you know, it's not inconceivable that he can come back.
Okay.
You know, they don't say much, you know, when they're in the concussion protocols. You know, we'll see. On Wednesday is the first time they report if he practices at all. That means he's back, you know, through at least level one. If he doesn't practice, then it's probably not looking real good that you're going to see him. If he, you know, if he's like a limited participant, at least allowed to do something, I think that's a better sign. But to answer your question, I don't think Wheaton kills them. They're in a very weak division. That team, you know, that team's defense is really their heart and soul. You know, they had a decent rushing game, and he didn't do anything stupid to cost them the game. They won the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think he's okay. I don't think it matters who the quarterback is. Texans are one and done. They got a home game. They're going to lose to the wild card team because they're looking at playing somebody along the lines of Pittsburgh or Kansas City more than likely at this moment in time. And either one of those two teams is going to smoke Houston. It's not even going to be close. In my opinion,
the Texans play the Titans this weekend in Tennessee. And I was just looking to see what the line is on that one.
That should be a Texans win.
Tennessee, believe it or not, is favored by 4.5 in that game.
Wow, really? Even without Mariota, huh?
Uh-huh. Yep, that's right. There's no Mariota in that game. Yep.
That's an interesting line. I'll be honest with you.
Colts now, on the other hand, are going to be playing in Miami at the Dolphins. And what do we got? What's the line on that one? Right now, the line, they've got that game taken off the because of the quarterback situation. Is it going to be Hasselbeck or Charlie Woodhouse? Do you have any update on that one?
They're saying Hasselbeck's going to go. Is what I read earlier. Let me see if I can give you a little bit more than that on it. I did read that they expect Hasselbeck to start. He is dinged up, but the Colts expect him to play. Pagano said he's beat up. He's beat up from the feet up is the quote from Chuck Pagano on Hasselbeck, but apparently they expect him to play. And if not, they got Charlie Whitehurst waiting.
Mm-hmm.
If they win again, then we're going to have the, for week 17, all the questions about Andrew Luck and when Andrew Luck's going to be cleared to come back.
Right.
I have a feeling if the Colts don't make the playoffs, I don't think you're going to, or have a chance to make the playoffs, I don't think you're going to see Andrew Luck this year.
I don't think so either.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think so either.
If they have week 17 game on the line with a win in, you might see Luck. Otherwise, I don't think you see Luck.
I would suspect that if this game, if it does turn out that Charlie Whitehurst starts this game, with the game being in Miami, my suspicion would be that the odds makers will give a slight favorite to Miami. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, Miami's looked okay in some games, but they're not a good team either. I mean, they're dealing with two really bad teams here as far as, you know, neither one really has much going for it right now in my book. I think
Miami.
the Colts need to retool around Luck. I think Luck, you know, is not going to be a bad quarterback in this league, but he needs an offensive line, and he has, you know, older skill positions around him in Frank Gore and Andre Johnson that they're going to have to address. I mean, they tried to make a big splash in signing him this year, and I don't think it's turned out quite the way they expected. So I think the Colts have some work to do.
Miami has only won two games at home this whole season. Two games out of six. I mean, seriously, can you imagine? That is, oof.
And they end the season with New England in Miami, too. So they want to win. They better.
Listen, they're better on the road. They're 3-5 on the road, Miami is. What in the – oh, honest to God. But I really ought to try to get somebody from the media from Miami on with us on one of our Friday Out Sports shows. I would love to know what the questions are that are being asked down there. Because that team, well, not dissimilar from a team right here in Philadelphia, was being touted preseason as being, you know, they were going to be this great, you know, juggernaut type of team that was going to come out of nowhere. And, you know, the Miami Dolphins and, none of that has materialized.
I did read an interesting article a couple weeks back on them. And part of at least the media person who wrote the article I read said they think a lot of the problems stem from right at the top from Ross. Apparently, Stephen Ross is an absentee owner. He lives and works out of New York. He never is down there in Miami, very rarely. And you got to have, you know, at least some kind of form of leadership. I mean, how many of these other teams, all these successful teams you always see, you know, like a Robert Kraft or, for years for out in Denver, you used to see that owner before he got ill. I mean, so I think you got to have at least a firm structure at the top. And Miami's been rotating door for, you know, GMs and coaches. So, you know, with an owner that's not around, you know, that's probably the, you know, start of, you know, a lot of the issues in Miami.
I read a similar article, if not the same one, Brandon, that you're talking about there, where they were talking about Stephen Ross. And I was thinking, or it might have been an article similar to it, like I said, that there were rumors that Ross might actually relocate his work situation to the Miami area, and that many people were applauding that possibility.
Wow, so, that's what it sounds like it needs. So,
yeah. So,
you know, I'm
maybe,
not saying he should become a meddling owner, but, you know, you got to at least, you know, have some form of leadership at the top. I mean, these guys are all billionaires and as NFL owners, so they must, you know something to get to where they got, is my point. I mean, I guess some of them get it, you know, handed down through family, but, you know, these guys are all CEO type material for the most part. So you would think he could apply a little bit of that skill to his, you know, billion-dollar toy in the Miami Dolphins.
Now, with two games remaining at this point right now for everybody across the league, but sticking with the AFC South for a moment, where are you sitting right now as far as who you think is actually going to come out on top in this particular division? Because as I point out right now, Houston's ahead by one game over Indianapolis, 7-7. Does Houston find a way to hold on to that, or does Indianapolis find a way to sneak in there and steal it away from them? Or let me just see here. I just wanted to see where Jacksonville is. Jacksonville is now two games behind.
Jacksonville's essentially done. I've kind of swung. I had been of the belief that the Colts were going to find a way. I'm kind of swinging to believe to your side now. I think with Houston beating the Colts and tying that series at 1-1, but the more important factor is they have a one-game lead now. I think that defense is good. It's solid. I think if Brian Hoyer does indeed come back, at least next week, if not this week, you know, they at least have, you know, a resemblance of a starting quarterback, where the Colts are, you know, playing with a I'm not knocking Matt Hasselbeck, but Matt Hasselbeck is getting beat up like nobody's business behind that offensive line out there. And, you know, he deserves a, you know, some kind of award from the NFL for doing what he's doing. I mean, you can clearly see he's just getting beat around like a rag doll, you know, and he's what, 40 years old. We already, you know, kind of went through that before. You know, you don't heal as well when you're that old. So, you know, I just kind of like the Texans overall situation, I think, right now over the Colts. And I think the Colts are, you know, they needed to win last week. I think that game, I think, essentially was your deciding game for that division, in my opinion. I think the Texans beat the Titans. I think the Titans are playing for the first round pick. If they lose out, they get the first overall pick in the draft. I don't think they really want to win, you know, to be honest with you. So I think the Texans, you know, they need the game more. They want to make the playoffs. They're right on the edge. You got a team that really wants to win against a team that really would rather lose, I think, overall. I think that just pretty much, you know, you can pretty much put that win in the Texans column, in my opinion.
Gotcha. All right, let's jump over here for a moment. Let's take a look at this was a wild, wild game, Brandon. I don't think there was probably a more wild game on the roster this past weekend, at least when it comes to
talking about the Broncos and Steelers. Am I right?
No, I'm talking about the Panthers and the Giants.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, that game was pretty wild, too. You're right.
Yeah, 38-35 is how that one ended. And I'm going to be honest with you. There were times there I thought, despite the fact, yes, I did ultimately pick Carolina to win it, but I was making some ruckus about the fact that, hey, you know what? This could be a game that Carolina loses. Well, for a little while there, it was actually looking like they might actually do that, particularly in the fourth quarter. Cam Newton was 25 of 45 for 340 yards and 5 touchdowns. He had 116.9 passer rating. But Brandon, he had another 100 yards on his own feet on the ground. He was the team's leading rusher. He carries 100 yards. Ted Ginn Jr. had 2 touchdowns. Greg Olsen had a touchdown. Devin Funchess, I was pleased to see, had himself a touchdown. A crazy, wild, wild game. Now, over on the other side, Eli Manning was 29 of 46 for 245 yards, 4 touchdowns himself. But he had that one interception, 96.7 QB rating. Good to see that New York is getting themselves a ground game going. Rashad Jennings had a good ground game. 107 yards on, 16 carries. I just want to see here for a moment what the total offense on this game, how about 886 yards between the two teams? 886 yards.
If I'm not mistaken, isn't there another game the Giants were involved in earlier this year that was very similar, where they had a ton of yards and they came up just short? Lots of points, it was earlier this year. I'd have to look it up to look at their schedule. But I believe there's another game the Giants got into one of these last-second shootouts and had a ton of, you know, offensive stats, but, you know, they just come up a little short.
Well, yeah, that's exactly. Hasn't that been the formula for the New York Giants this year? They
come
up just a little bit short. There were 49 first downs in this game, 49 of them. Wild game. Wild, wild game. Now, and it certainly had its share of, it certainly has had its share of sidebar stories. Let's get that one straight. So we can get into a little bit of that right off the top. Sidebar story number one, I guess, has to be Odell Beckham and Josh Norman. Everybody's been going on and on and on. In fact, today's Tuesday, and we're still hearing nothing but all the stories about Odell Beckham and Josh Norman. Odell Beckham ultimately ended up getting a one-game suspension, which apparently he is in the process of right now appealing. While he's in the process of appealing that, Brandon, he will not serve the suspension for this coming week. Is that how that works?
Well, what he'll do is he's allowed to practice. I have a feeling this is going to be heard later this week, and we will have an answer by the end of the week. So basically, all it means is he can practice up until the ruling. James Thrash, the ex-Philadelphia Eagle, believe it or not, is now working for the NFL in the role of an arbitrator for situations like this, is going to hear the case. And, you know, I think we'll have a resolution. I don't think Odell Beckham gets out of this. If you look at what he did in that game, you know, many people said ESPN last night on the Monday Night Football show, we're all saying he should have been ejected. He should, you know, all this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, it was pretty blatant. They were in his head. You know, the defense did their job of, you know, getting him out of his game. I think I even read a quote from Tom Coughlin that if he'd have known the extent, he might have, you know, sat him down himself. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you're going to pull your greatest.
I don't buy that.
But anyway.
Because how could you not know? You're standing on the sideline watching it.
A lot of times the coaches don't see every little thing, especially in between plays when they're, you know, getting the right guys on the field and, you know, what their strategy is, that kind of thing.
We saw it here live. Yeah. I'm watching. Now, here's where I back off. Here's where I back off of it a little bit. I'm probably going to state it tomorrow night, and I'll state it repeatedly. In my opinion, Odell Beckham got a one-game suspension. I think Josh Norman deserved one. Because in my opinion, I think Josh Norman, in many cases, was instigating. Now, on the one serious hit, the one that everybody keeps coming back to and showing, there's no doubt about that one. Odell Beckham, you shouldn't even probably be trying to appeal. In my opinion, just take your punishment for what it is at this moment. Leave it alone. That's just my personal opinion. He shouldn't even try it. But I know that that's what everybody does. Everybody's going to try. It doesn't matter. It doesn't seemingly matter what you've done. If you get nailed on something like this, you're going to appeal it, whether you're right or whether you're wrong. So, you know, all fine and good. Go through the theatrics if that's what you want to do. But I frankly felt that in many of the cases, when you go back and you take a look at, and I guess really the best clip to look at, Brandon, is that I put up a clip last night over on our Frat House Sports Facebook page. For those that are listening, get over and give our Facebook page a like. Frat House Sports, leave spaces in between, and look for our little purple icon and give us a like. There is they strung together, and it's real short. It's only, well, maybe a minute and a half, maybe less than that. They strung together all the different incidents during the game of Odell Beckham and Josh Norman, because this thing went on the whole darn game. And when you see it like that, you're going to see where there were numerous times Norman was the instigator. He was the one that was instigating. And look, two wrongs don't make a right. I'm not going to sit here and defend what Odell Beckham did, because in the league, the way it is, as we know it is today, if you lead with the head the way he did, you're going to get nailed. That's just the way it goes. And frankly, I agree. I think that Odell Beckham is a very lucky man that he didn't knock Josh Norman out. Because if he did, holy smokes, he may be sitting for the rest of the season. You know? I just frankly think that Josh Norman deserved a one game as well. I guess that was my first point to it. The second issue with it was apparently, you heard the stories as well, because you're saying, you know, the defense got into his head. There was all the talk about them bringing out the black bats. Now, of course, mm-hmm. the NFL steps in on that one today. Ron Rivera has a little comment, has a little bit of a comment about that. No, the black bats will never be back out again. He apparently refers to the NFL as a no-fun league. There were also rumors, apparently, and this is the first time I ever heard this, there were some homophobic slurs being thrown at Beckham. I don't know. Apparently that might be the rumor that is spread amongst the NFL. That Beckham's gay, I guess. I don't know. But apparently that was also part of this. Ron Rivera comes out today that in their investigations, they've got no evidence of any of that sort of thing going on. I don't know. Your thoughts on everything that I brought up here. I mean, you know, do you think Josh Norman should have gotten one as well? And what about all the other stuff?
Oh, I don't know about Josh Norman getting a game suspension for, I mean, he really didn't do anything. You know, you could call it gamesmanship. It is, you know, the defense's job to take the offense off their game. I don't know that the way he did it necessarily is the greatest way of doing it. You know, but you know, he didn't take a shot to the head, you know, like Odell did. And as far as the other thing goes, you know, I don't know. I don't know whether he is gay or not gay, but, you know, what I had read was, you know, Rivera basically said, show me proof, get me some video evidence, get me this, and I'll act on it, was basically what his comments were. You know, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything there or not when it comes right down to it. I clearly think the Panthers are what you would call a bully type of team, and they're coming across that way. As I don't know if it's a means to, you know, like get the other team out of their game plan, that kind of thing, or what. But you know, it's clearly, this isn't the first time this year we've heard about, you know, the Panthers not necessarily being the nicest guys anyway. You know what I mean?
So they're, yeah. They're the Raiders. They're the new Raiders, I guess.
Well, I guess maybe. I don't know. I think the Raiders had many years of you know, practice of becoming that way. So I don't think you're, you know, I don't think you're in any danger of them becoming the new Raiders. But they're clearly out there to prove a point.
I think there's no doubt about it. There's a swagger.
Yes.
About this
team.
That's
a good word. That's a perfect word almost.
Yeah, that really, really, I think, and you know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, I'm not going to, you know, listen. They're 14-0, for God's sake.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, do they have a right to have a little swagger? Well, maybe. But that there is, and that swagger, I'm going to tell you right now, that comes directly from, in my opinion, that comes right down from Cam Newton. because we have, as you pointed out, there have been a number of stories this year already about Cam Newton. You know, the ripping down of signs in his own home. You know, where somebody's putting up Green Bay Packers signs in there at the where do they play in Carolina? Ripping those down.
Bank of America.
Yeah, that's right. The whole story about, you know, him giving the balls away to all the kids. You know, there was that, God, I remember that it was just a couple of weeks ago, where he got, you could see he got the touchdown. I think actually it was one of his rushing touchdowns, because Cam Newton's had 7 rushing touchdowns himself this season. 31 in the air. 31 in the air, and I think 7 on the ground is what he's had. And he gets a touchdown, and he was going to get the ball, and the referee picked the ball up and started to put it back into play. And he's standing there. You probably have seen this. He's standing there in the end zone. He's looking at the referee, and he's obviously saying to him, give me the ball. Give me the ball. I want the ball. And the referee ignores him and tosses the ball to the linesman, to which Newton goes over, takes the ball out of the linesman's hands, runs back down into the end zone, and gives it away.
Yep. So, I did have seen that
there is,
as well.
There is a swagger about this team, which, like I said, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're smelling themselves a little bit, you know. But, you know, I kind of feel like the guy in the bar or in the little In-N-Out store there with Troy Aikman. You know, I don't blame you. You know, that's what I kind of feel like. They're smelling themselves a little bit. I don't blame you. The one other little issue, though, I want to bring up real quick with you with regard to the Panthers. I want to get your thoughts on it. Some people are saying, and I don't know whether you saw it or not. I actually saw it in a clip. I didn't see it live. But I mentioned that Cam Newton ran for 100 yards himself, was you know, the team's leading rusher. And there was apparently a very, very nasty hit he took at one point on one of the runs where he apparently got up rather slowly, took a hit right to the chest. And, you know, there were some columnists that were writing out there and putting the thought out there. Well, you know, you got to wonder whether Ron Rivera is sitting back going, you know, maybe I ought to start thinking about just sitting some of my regulars. And more, apparently, that's becoming a bit of a question and an issue. Should the Carolina Panthers be thinking about sitting? They're 14-0 now. They've got the division locked up. I know that they still have one more thing really they're fighting for, I guess, would be the you know, they want home field throughout. But do they have that? They don't have that yet, right? Because they've got Arizona. Arizona's there. Well, no, I guess they would, though, wouldn't they? Carolina's going to have home field throughout, even if they went 14-0.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know that is it clinched officially? Because I think right now Arizona's 10-2. So they could end up with the same records. I'm not sure how the tiebreakers all fall. So, but yeah, I think they have, the Panthers have clinched a bye. They clinched a division.
Yep.
So, but they have not clinched home field throughout just yet. That they can do with one more win.
Because of Arizona, I guess.
Correct. Arizona's 12-2.
Right. Okay.
And if Arizona wins out, they'll be 14-2. If Carolina would lose two in a row, they'd have the same record. And I guess Carolina would then get the tiebreaker.
Okay. So.
Arizona, rather. Excuse me.
All right. So let's assume for a moment Carolina's got to go to Atlanta this week. Carolina's a 7-point favorite in Atlanta. All right. So they're going to Atlanta. Let's just assume for a moment that they win that game, Brandon. And then that would put them at 15-0. And assume for a moment that Arizona wins and they're 13-2. There's no need in week 17 to be playing your regulars at that point, right? You sit everybody.
If everything's clinched, from what I've read from Ron Rivera's quotes on the matter, is as long as we're playing for something, everybody's playing. He's not sitting anybody. So in other words, as long as they're still playing for home field throughout, you know, whatever, they're going to keep playing, you know, everyone. You know, we've seen this before where teams start benching teams and then they go into the playoffs flat. I'm not a big fan. Here's my thought. You want to give him a rest? Let him play into the third quarter like you do in the third preseason game, you know, and then, you know, sit him for the, you know, half the third and the fourth periods. I'm not a big fan of just like saying, okay, you're not playing the last week or two. I think that makes a team, you know, we've seen that, you know, when Peyton Manning was
yep.
with the Colts and
yep.
they were doing that. It didn't necessarily work out that great every year. I mean, yeah, they did one year win a Super Bowl doing it, but there was other years where they came out looking flat. So I personally am not a fan, you know, being New England guy, Patriots fan, you know, Belichick don't rest nobody, you know, he might give them, you know, the end of the game off, but he's not resting anyone. He never has. I don't think he ever will. You know, if you're healthy, you're playing.
All right. So the unbeaten season thing, let's just say for a moment, like I said, they win this week and Arizona wins this week, but they've got it locked up going into week 17. The unbeaten season thing doesn't matter. They should bench them or they shouldn't?
I don't think they should. I think they should just play out, get their momentum, keep their momentum going. You know, I'm not a fan. I don't like the, you know, all right, here's the thing. If you're injured, slightly injured, you know, and the week's rest will be better, that's fine. If you're not injured, I don't see any reason. I just don't get it. I don't see why you would risk. We've seen so many times now in the NFL, a team catches on fire, they build momentum at the end of the year, you know, and they use that as a steamroll through the playoffs. Who has more momentum right now than Carolina? They're 14-0 for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs have 8 in a row. I mean, why would you want to screw with that, in my opinion? I don't see any reason. I think you play it out. Just play it out, you know, and if, you know, you got halfway through the third quarter of that last game, if you're winning by 10 points and you want to sit Cam down for the rest, okay. I'll be on board with that, but, you know, try to win it. You know, we don't, you know, what would your fans of Carolina, what do the fans want? They want to see a loss because you're sitting your stars? I don't think anybody would want to see that.
That's an interesting question, and now that you're bringing it up, maybe I have to see if I can find somebody from Carolina to come on with us tomorrow night. Who else did I say? I said I wanted somebody from Miami, right?
Yeah, Carolina.
Miami and Carolina. I got to see whether Miami and Carolina. In the meantime, how about we do this? Let's do this. Let's get our buddy Naj from Atlanta in here. We'll find out what's on Naj's mind for tonight. Maybe he's got a thought on the whole unbeaten season thing. Naj, how you doing tonight? We appreciate you calling in.
Oh, man, thanks for having me, man. I'm good.
You got it.
Yeah, you guys are laying down some good stuff. The best thing I've heard so far was the suggestion he just gave, where you kind of play it into the third quarter. I actually wouldn't tell the team that I planned on pulling them in the third, just so you can have that same intensity, nobody, you know, out there going through the motions, and then just pull them early and I think that'll be fine. Even if you do lose the game, as sad as the fans will be, I think they respect the strategy of it.
So it sounds like you'd be okay. I mean, look, let's say it's your team. Carolina's your team. And you've got everything all wrapped up after this week. After the kind of season that Cam Newton's have, wouldn't you sit there and go, hey, you know what? I want my guy healthy. Leave him alone. Just let him sit this game. I mean, wouldn't that be where you think – I mean, I'm just looking at it like as if I'm that fan. I don't know.
Yeah, like I think there's a good argument for that, but I don't know. I think I go with the old school thinking of you get stale and you come out, you're not crisp. And I've just seen too many high seeds lose to teams they were better than, I feel like, over the years because they tried to regulate snaps as the season ended to the point of not playing guys. I feel like you just keep them out there, like you said, play it late and then get them out of the game. But they're still staying fresh, the sets look good, and they stay in the routine of football.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Now, out of curiosity, I was just pointing out, you probably heard it, a lot of controversy came out of this game, and not the first of which was the whole Odell Beckham Josh Norman thing. Where do you stand on all of that? I kind of felt that Norman deserved an equal suspension. What do you think?
I think it's football. It happens. Sometimes you have intense rivalries, and you also have one guy who wants to be that next all-pro great wide receiver, and you have a corner who's trying to
– You there, Naj? Did we lose him?
I don't know. Doesn't look like it.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it. We just can't hear him. Well, he's on his phone.
I like his point. I like his point. I mean, you know, there is always a bit of gamesmanship, you know, when you have you know, all the egos of the NFL, and you got a guy who's looking to be one of the premier receivers, and, you know, the cornerback on the other side, it's his job to, you know, get in his head if he can.
Yeah. Well, I got you. I'm telling you, go take a look at that video, that little clipped video that I put together over on our Frat House Sports Facebook page. And I think you'll see there's probably a little bit of a reason for perhaps maybe at least putting a fine to Josh Norman.
Well, is there one specific incident you're referring to, or is it just chippiness throughout the game? Because if it's chippiness throughout the game, you know, that's on the refs to throw the flags, you know, in my book. It's not, you know, that's not something I don't want to see the league go back and start fining for everything.
No, I agree. From what I understand, I believe I read that Dean Blandino apparently did come out and say that he felt that the referees on the ground let this game get out of control. He was not complimentary of the referees that worked this game. There was, and the one incident I'm thinking of between Norman and Beckham, which was not the headbutting incident, was when Norman got hold of him while Beckham was streaking down the right side, got hold of him. I'm trying to remember if Beckham actually got the pass or not, or whether he missed it. But Norman got him, got hold of him, threw him down to the ground, and was standing over him and wouldn't let him get up. And
that's a 15-yard taunting. I'll give you that. It's a 15-yard taunting penalty. I don't know if it's suspension worthy, though.
Yeah, but don't you remember when we saw that play live right here at Fred House Sports? I don't remember. I actually said that should be taunting.
Yes.
And there
as you pointed out, the refs lost control.
Yeah, there was no penalty thrown. So apparently there has been some indication that Dean Blandino came out and actually said he felt that the referees lost control of the game. You know, and all that other nonsense from Tom Coughlin. I don't buy that. I didn't actually see everything that was going on. Come on, dude. You can't see that these two guys are ready to take each other's heads off, huh? You know, it did appear. Now, if I'm not mistaken, too, obviously we're not privy to every little conversation, but it does appear after the incident when Beckham obviously went in and attempted to head spear him, or actually did head spear him. Really, I mean, he made contact. Beckham came off, and boy, it looked like one of the coaches was probably the wide receivers coach was, you know, it looked like he was getting a pretty firm talking to, it appeared. Looks like we got all Naj right. back. We'll get Naj back
yeah,
in.
Yeah, bring Naj back in.
Let's see. We got you, Naj. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that, man. I don't know that was about.
That's all right.
But yeah, man, all great points you just raised. And the spearing by Beckham, yes, that did deserve a suspension. But I didn't, like you just said, I didn't see anything by Norman to where you would suspend him. That should have been handled in-game by the refs. They did a horrible job. And I think a part of it is I don't think a lot of people like Beckham, just the way he comes off as far as arrogance and things like that. That typically kind of makes you a guy who doesn't get calls. And then if you're a guy who's not getting calls, you get frustrated and you're dropping passes and all, you know, just acting out of character, or he just has a temper issue. But, I think he deserved it for the spearing. That play was totally uncalled for. But as far as people talking about the conversation and the things they were saying to him and people bringing up the bat, all that, I mean, that's just football. You know what I mean? I don't see anything really big with that stuff. Like, if the NFL rules that you can't carry a bat out, then so be it going forward. But they haven't said anything yet. They've been doing it for a couple of weeks. I don't get Beckham's little point with that. And Coughlin kind of exposed himself because he's an old school guy, and he always goes by old school rules except for when he's talking about exceptional talent. So if that was another wide receiver, Coughlin would have pulled him from the game, as he should have. But since it was Beckham and he can make so many great plays, he decided to act like he didn't see anything.
Exactly. I'm glad you saw it for exactly the way that I did as well. I mean, that's just coach speak. That's all that was.
Well, Ruben Randall try that.
Exactly, yeah. Ruben Randall's pulled. Yeah, you got it. You're absolutely right. what else is on your mind there tonight, Nash?
Well, I guess I'm waiting on the playoffs to start because I'm more interested in the AFC because I don't know what's going to happen over there. Osweiler looks like he's struggling a bit.
Yep.
And Peyton looks like he's trying to make another comeback. And I honestly don't want to see it because I don't want to see Peyton go out badly, man. I'd rather Peyton just walk off. I don't want to see him go out there and get embarrassed in the playoffs. But if he's able to have one of those moments, like we've seen as horrible as Kobe's been this year, he's had a couple of moments. If Peyton is able to have a playoff moment, I guess it will be worth it. But that's the interesting thing. And that and then Cincinnati going forward. And I think everybody in the AFC – it's praying that Pittsburgh doesn't find a way into the playoffs because that is a dangerous team.
Boy, Nash is saying a lot of the same things you have, Brandon.
Pittsburgh is one of the scariest teams in the AFC, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. They just I watched the entire Broncos Pittsburgh game, and I pretty much focused on the whole game, and it was like two different games. The Broncos kicked the Pittsburgh's tail for the first half. The defense couldn't stop anything. They couldn't do anything on offense. And halftime, it was like somebody flipped a switch. And not only did Pittsburgh come out and reverse it, they reversed it with emphasis enough to come back and win the game. Roethlisberger was just lights out in that second half. And that defense all of a sudden just locked down Osweiler and the running game and everything. The Broncos couldn't do anything offensively against Pittsburgh's defense. And the first half, they could do anything they wanted. So, you know, Pittsburgh's clearly the team right now. I'm a New England fan primarily. I always have been. My team, they keep winning games, but, they got to get some players back and healthy if we want to compete with a Pittsburgh, in my opinion. Pittsburgh is right now the one team I don't want to play.
Interesting thing that Nash, you bring up there, and I couldn't agree with you more. And I kind of the opinion, I really don't want Peyton Manning coming back. That's just kind of where I am. I've been a Peyton Manning fan since he's been at Denver, and I really don't want him coming back. That is, unless I can be assured he's going to have, as you say, one of those Peyton moments. But there's no assurance we're going to get that. None. And so, therefore, I don't want him to go out looking really, really badly. That's the whole thing. And yet, Brandon, what's the word on Brock Osweiler for this week? I think the last I heard is he's going to start, right?
Yeah, he's a little dinged up. His non-throwing shoulder, he got an injury in that game. But all indications are right now is even if they wanted to, I don't think Peyton's totally healthy enough to play this coming week. So I think Osweiler's got the job no matter what. I think week 17 is going to get interesting. I think you could see a circumstance where, depending how Osweiler plays against the Bengals and Peyton Manning's health, that you might see, you know, it could be an interesting week in Denver. Let's put it that way.
Now, of course, that's a Monday night game. Denver's going to be their home hosting Cincinnati. Right now, Vegas has got it listed as Denver a 3.5-point favorite. I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, Osweiler wasn't horrible last week. As you just pointed out, Brandon, he had a good first half. I mean, his overall numbers were not shabby. He was 21 of 44 for 296, three touchdowns and one interception. I mean, it wasn't horrible. He wasn't terrible. But most of that came in the first half. And over in Cincinnati's side, we saw that, what's his name? Help me out.
A.J. McCarron. A.J. McCarron.
Yeah. McCarron did okay last week.
Yeah. It's going to be a good game.
But that Denver defense, though, I don't know if I take my chances with him going against that defense. Like,
well, that defense
did what he did to him, but man,
they came out of that. That defense didn't come out of that very healthy. They had a couple cornerbacks go down in the game, and they had one of them is on injured reserve. So they lost one of the key defensive guys to injury for the year. So that's not going to be good. That's going to, you know, that could hurt Denver a little.
Who, Denver did? Well,
yes.
isn't Aqib Talib the other one?
Yeah. David Burton is the one who has a broken leg, and he's done for the year.
Okay.
He actually played most of that game on a fractured leg, believe it or not. But, yeah, he's on injured reserve and done for the year. So one of those key secondary guys is now out. So Denver's got to, you know, they got to watch it.
All right, so Aqib Talib's okay.
Talib is fine.
All right, well, you know, it's an interesting situation. I don't know. In a game like this one, Naj, we're Denver hosting Cincinnati. And you got Osweiler in, looks like. That's the way it's going to go. You think Denver wins this one?
Oh, yeah. I think Denver gets it. I think Osweiler knows Peyton is coming, so I think he's going to be really focused. And I think they'll also help him a lot more with the running game and not force him to kind of make the plays like he had the last game at the end. And he just kind of was throwing high and was a little erratic. And like I said, man, McCarron, that's a tall order, man, to go in there and play against that Denver defense. Now, if he plays just confident, he's probably set himself up for at least 10 years of NFL paycheck. So, I mean, he can really make his bones in this game, but I don't think it's enough to win. And since he brought up injuries, I think we forgot about Arizona losing the Honey Badger.
Oh, man.
Going into the playoffs.
Oh,
that
you are
huge.
Not kidding. Thank you for bringing that one up, yeah. Tyrann Mathieu, Brandon, who I have just been praising all season long. Holy smokes. When I read that one, I couldn't believe it. I don't even remember seeing that play happen. That would have been during the Philadelphia game. I don't remember seeing him go out. Do you remember that going out?
No. I think it happened towards the very end of the game, actually.
They were up big, and he was doing everything as usual. Safety, corner, slot, everything. And yeah.
That guy is the real deal, is he not? I mean, what a season that guy has had. It's just been absolutely incredible.
That's a big loss, too.
Not kidding. Not kidding. Yep. Good work, Naj. Thanks for bringing that one up. I completely forgot about that one. All right, my friend, I appreciate you jumping in with us this evening again and checking in with us. Keep doing it.
Indeed. Y'all have a good night.
You too now. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Yep.
Always good to hear from Naj from down there in
Always.
Atlanta.
I'm glad he called back because, you know, he was, you know, phone problems or, you know, that's never fun. I'm glad he called back.
One of these days we will find out who his home team is.
Yeah.
You know?
I know we know he's a transplant.
Right, I'm getting a sense, Brandon, and I got it a little bit tonight, and we're going to keep playing this game. We'll keep playing this game with Naj. We'll just, like, let him eke it out slowly but surely on his own. I'm getting a sense that it might be Denver. What do you think?
It might be. Could be. I don't know.
See, he brought up that whole Denver thing all on his own. That was unprovoked. I didn't bring up Denver. See?
Well, maybe he's from like the Indianapolis area, or maybe about even a Tennessee, because you know he was a Tennessee.
Oh yeah, he could be a. You think he's a volunteer?
It could be a Peyton thing, not a Denver thing.
Ah, got you. I hadn't thought of that. Well, one thing we know that Naj knows his football. That we do know.
Oh, yeah.
He can talk it. He can talk it like a frat out sports guy. That's for sure.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Excuse me. All right, what do you say we get over? Let's take a look at this real quick. Let's take a look at this Kansas City Chiefs game. I want to get into this one for a moment. And not because the Kansas City Chiefs has went and won their eighth in a row, but because Baltimore wore those horrible mustard pants. That's why we got to look at this game. Were they just about some of the worst things you'd ever seen? I think there was probably only one thing worse than that, and that was the Jaguars' all-mustard uniforms for the color burst, right?
Yeah, they were bad.
Oh, man alive. This Kansas City...
The color burst thing, they need to just shell that.
Yeah, get rid of it. Guys, get rid of it. Can it already.
I mean, the Cowboys, what was it? The Cowboys and Panthers was the only one that was kind of okay because they had the Cowboys all in white and the Panthers all in the blue.
That was on Thanksgiving Day. That wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that one was kind of okay, but the rest of them had just been god awful.
My God. Yeah, the very first one, the red and the green. But seriously, no, let me. This Kansas City Chiefs team, holy smokes. They got to be loving themselves. They got to be loving themselves from Andy Reid out there. Honest to God. You know, he had that first season where he walked in there, you know, and set the world on fire. And everybody was in Andy heaven the first year. And then last year it was kind of an off year, you know. And holy smokes, this year, 8 wins in a row. This team at one point was 1-5. They're now 9-5. And they've clearly got themselves positioned for a wild card spot. Interesting game this week, Brandon. And in fact, I'm going to be putting out the notice here shortly because our Frat House Sports Show is going to be coming tomorrow night. You know, alert there, folks. We will not be coming on our usual Thursday night for our flagship program. We're going to be coming tomorrow night for our Frat House Sports Show. 7 p.m. Eastern time because of the new Christmas Eve holiday. So, but one of the games that I'm going to be putting forth here right after the show ends, I'm going to be sending out the notice. One of the games I'm going to be suggesting for possible look at for tomorrow night's show is the New England and New York Jets game. New York Jets are 9-5. So we got three teams right now in spot for the wild card spots. You got the Jets, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I haven't actually seen them ranked out. Have you? Who's the odd man out here of these three? Do you know? If it were to end with
I think right now the Jets are. I think they're the odd ones out right now. I believe. I don't know, though. I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember. They had all that stuff on, you know, last night on Monday Night Countdown. I don't remember exactly. I kind of got the maybe. I know Pittsburgh's in for sure. Maybe it's Pittsburgh and Jets right now, and Kansas City's the odd one out.
Okay.
But I think that could change because the Jets have, they at least have a divisional game this week against New England. You know, that could change. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out. I hate some of these scenarios when you get these three-way ties because, you know, all your traditional tiebreakers, sometimes they go out the window with a three-way tie.
Well, you got to go with whatever the league or no, you got to go with what the conference tiebreaker is, not division tiebreaker, because now we're talking about these teams all going across the conference. So you got to go with what the conference tiebreakers would be. And one of those conference tiebreakers, I would think, would be conference, perhaps maybe conference record. The Jets have a 6-4 conference record. Steelers are 6-4, and the Kansas City Chiefs are 8-2. So one would think the Chiefs actually would have the edge. But then you got to go to head-to-head matchups. So you'd have to look at each individual schedule and see whether any of these teams have played each other head-to-head so far this season, in which case I'm sure we have, right? Pittsburgh has played the Jets, or the Jets have played Kansas City, or Kansas City has played Pittsburgh, or, you know, something like that, right?
Yeah, it's saber math at this time, at
exactly,
that point.
Exactly, exactly.
So, I hate the three-way. The three-way ties just, they just, yeah.
Yeah, that's what she said. We need Matt. Hold on. There we go. Hold on. Wait, come on, move. No, it didn't go. Wrong one. Get out of here. We need Matt Navia's in here when we get into the Saber Matt.
Yeah, right.
Anyhow, we got an interesting matchup there. So, New England and the Jets actually is a and that game is in
New York,
and the Jets.
Yeah, New England has two division games on the road to end the year because of New Year's Day hockey game. Yep.
Right, Winter Classic is going to be played there. So right now, the Patriots are a 3-point favorite in that game on Sunday. So I'll be putting that one out. That's only one of a couple of games that I've chosen as a possibly be looking at tomorrow evening. But Kansas City, I don't know what to make of this team, Brandon. I really don't. They're, to me, and I have said it now for the better part of two seasons, to me, Kansas City is just nondescript. There's nothing here that I can embrace. There's nothing here I can wrap my arms around and say, I really like this, or I really like that guy, or this really gets me excited. There's nothing about this Kansas City Chiefs team that gets me excited. And yet, this team seems to manage to find some level of success. I don't get it. That's just my personal opinion. Your thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs?
I like their momentum. I like what they've done. The team's kind of rallied since Jamal Charles went down. They haven't lost a game since. They almost look like they're getting better and better and better. I don't know. They're on a roll for sure. I think you're going to see Pittsburgh and the Chiefs be the two wild card teams. Unless something fluky happens that, you know, one of them ends up with a division. I mean, if Denver goes on a couple game losing streak and the Chiefs, you know, win out, yeah, the Chiefs could still win the West. Same for, you know, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati in the North. But, you know, there's two games left, and Pittsburgh's two games behind Cincinnati. So that's a pretty tall order. Denver is only one game ahead of the Chiefs, though. So that's one to keep an eye on. If Cincinnati goes into Denver and upsets them, you never know.
All right, let's look at this for a second. This is the I'm going to dissect here. Let's dissect for a moment the Chiefs' 8-game winning streak. All right? October 25th, the Chiefs beat a Roethlisberger-less Steelers, 23-13. The week after that, November 1st, the Chiefs beat the Lions, 45-10. They got their bye week the week after that. The next week after that, and we know what Andy Reid is like coming off of byes, right? I think the guy's damn near perfect.
Right? Yeah.
He's damn near perfect coming off of a bye. The Chiefs beat the Broncos 29-13. The week after that, the 22nd, Chiefs beat the Chargers 33-3. Week after that, November 29th. I guess that was Thanksgiving weekend. Chiefs 30, Bills 22. December 6th. Chiefs 34, Raiders 20. December 13, Chiefs 10, Chargers 3. Last week, December 20th, Chiefs 34, Ravens 14. When it comes right down to it, Brandon, one could make a case, if they wanted to, that the only quality team in there were the Broncos.
You're probably right. But you can't control your schedule.
I think we've had this conversation before too. You can only play what they put in front of you. So I'm not going to knock them for that.
All
you
right.
know what I mean?
If it were
they play in a solid. I think you know they play in the AFC West, which is a pretty solid division. I mean, their division games ain't a slouch. I mean, the Raiders are an up and coming team. Chargers are off, but and the Broncos are 10-4. So you know, I'm not gonna. I like what they're doing. I'll be honest with you.
Right. If it were college football, they might get a somewhat lower poll ranking simply because of
the
strength of schedule sort of thing. This week, the Chiefs are where? Is it home or away? I can't quite tell. I think they're home. I think the Chiefs are home for the last two games. Chiefs home against the Browns, and they close out the season on January 3rd. Chiefs home, I believe, against the Raiders. Now, let me just check that. Excuse me. Kansas City is home. They are home against Cleveland. They are a 12.5-point favorite, one of the highest point spread lines on the board. The only higher one is Seattle playing St. Louis. Seattle is a 13.5-point favorite over St. Louis. But Kansas City is a 12.5-point favorite over Cleveland at home. Oh, man, Johnny Football is probably going to get destroyed, don't you think? Oh, my God. Johnny Football is going to look bad, I think, in this game. I think you got to go with Kansas City on that one. I would venture a bet, but yeah, I mean, look, they're 8-0, right? They're on an 8-game winning streak. They could end the season on a 10-game winning streak. That's damn near as good as Carolina's 14-0, in my opinion. That is not easy to do. You're right, Brandon. I was just throwing it out there to be play devil's advocate, but you're absolutely right. Listen, that's not easy to do. I don't care how good or bad the teams are that you're playing. To string together 8 games in a row in the NFL, that is difficult. That is difficult to do. Mm. Anyhow. All right. Well, let's start. We got to start wrapping this one up because we only got about 3 minutes remaining here. Let me remind everybody, please, again, we will be here tomorrow evening, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, with our Frat House Sports Show, normally on a Thursday night, but because of the Christmas Eve holiday on Thursday, we will be coming to you one day earlier on a Wednesday. The same will be true as well next week in observance of the New Year's Eve holiday. So we will be Wednesday with our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show, 2 weeks in a row, 7 p.m. Eastern time. You want to be here for that, where we're talking all sports, everything. I have a funny feeling a lot of it's going to be NFL. I just have a sneaky suspicion. No sidekick tomorrow night, but we will have a special guest co-host. Yes, our good buddy Jim the Voice Williams will be joining us, and he will be playing second chair tomorrow night. From CLW 83. You've heard Jim on here many, many times. You get to hear him sometimes as some of the voice in on some of our intros. So make sure that you're here for that one tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And then Saturday afternoon, I will be here with you for a relaxed Frat House Saturday afternoon sports program, 2 p.m. Eastern time. And I will be joined in live one more time by my good buddy, Eric Purdy from Utah, jumping in with me and do a little trash talking on some college football as we will be entering into that heavy, heavy dose of college football week. Many thanks to everybody that's listened in this evening. Many thanks to Nosh down there in Atlanta for giving us a holler here tonight. And for all of you out there, listen, there's some sports on tonight. Hey, there's a college bowl game on. Got to go check out what's going on with Temple. Temple and Toledo going on down there at Boca Raton. Get out there and check that one out. Make sure you're here with us tomorrow evening, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Catch you then.